largely young girls in tight dungarees with iPhones in their behinds, on their behinds. And naturally, Anderson Cooper put on the flak jacket and ran over there, because whenever he sees a pair of tight pants with a young protester with an iPhone, he knows that they're the right ones. Our president even drew a pink line. The billion-dollar question is, what is the interest of the United States here? Why has John Kerry stuck his big ketchup bottle into this fight time and time again? While most Americans don't even know where Ukraine is, most Americans are fed up with war, Americans are burned out from Iraq and Afghanistan. Who was banging the loudest war drums? What does it have to do with Joe Biden? I'll tell you in a minute. First, you have to understand that Russia provides about a quarter of the natural gas consumed in the European Union. About 80% of those exports flow through pipelines across Ukrainian soil before the gas arrives in the EU. Excuse me, but another source for those exports to the EU exists in the region, and it's not controlled by Russia. It's very common knowledge that Qatar, Q-A-T-A-R, Qatar, Qatar, no one can pronounce it. They should just change their name to just another Arab country. Qatar has wanted to build a natural gas pipeline to Turkey in order to export gas to Europe. But guess who stood in the way of the first leg of that journey? Syria and Bashar Assad, of a Russian ally. Are you starting to see the picture? Syria, so you think the Syrian civil war is over anything but money and oil? You may be wrong. I'm going to move ahead now. I'm going to tell you what's going on right now. According to the Wall Street Journal, Vice President Joe Biden's son, Hunter, and a close friend of Secretary of Hate, John Kerry's stepson, have joined the board of a Ukrainian gas producer controlled by a former top security and energy official for deposed President Viktor Yanukovych. That's a quote now. What am I claiming here? I'm claiming right here and right now that the United States has kicked up a civil war in Ukraine to mask a fight over a natural gas pipeline route that, once it is built, will personally benefit family and friends of this administration. This is called cronyism, crony capitalism. This is called nepotism in a polite way, but in a more blunt way, it's called ugly. Who is Hunter Biden? Was he picked by the Ukraine because he's a brilliant lawyer? I don't know. He has a name called Biden. His father's vice president. That couldn't hurt. Did you know that Hunter Biden worked with the Clinton machine in the U.S. Department of Commerce? Did you know that Hunter Biden was the Obama campaign bundler, one of the biggest money guys? Did you know that Hunter Biden helped get his dad elected? There's a lot of money to be made. You see, if they can yank the Ukraine into the U.S. sphere of influence, the Biden-Kerry cartel stands to rake in billions of dollars. Barack Obama said in 2008, "I will finally end the abuse of no-bid contracts once and for all." He said that in Grand Rapids in October of 08. Obama lied when he said the days of sweetheart deals for Halliburton will be over when I'm in the White House. What he meant to say was, those days are over for anyone but my friends. Replace the word Halliburton with Biden. I'm asking you again, how do you feel about Joe Biden's son working for Ukrainian natural gas producer? Now, the State Department, as corrupt as it is, was challenged on this very topic by the only reporter in the Associated Press I have respect for named Matt Lee. I never heard of him. We're going to play a soundbite for you in a minute that you're going to say, wait a minute, there's actually someone left who's a reporter who dared challenge these lousy, stinking liars. You know, what went on in the ex-Soviet Union after the fall of the wall was a disaster for the Russian people. And initially, the gas was stolen. All of the things that were owned by the state were stolen by the oligarchs. The natural resources were stolen by the Russian oligarchs. We know that. It's going on in front of your eyes right now under this nice guy Obama, who, as you well know, cares only about issues related to human rights. And so that's why you have to understand how dangerous this is, because 52% or so of the people don't work. They could care less who's robbing who. All they know is that government check comes in with the government cheese. All they know is that they're not qualified for medical care because nobody could insure them, and now you're going to pay for it. All they know is that we're living in a nation of giveaways from a nation of takeaways. And so I ask you again, how do you feel about Joe Biden's son working for Ukrainian energy producer. But before we go to your calls, again, you're entitled to call 855-47728. This is a huge story. I want to play for you first the liar, Jay Carneybacher. Jay Carneybacher in clip number one. Listen to this.
I was referring you to the vice president's office. I saw those reports. You know, Hunter Biden and other members of the Biden family are obviously private citizens, and where they work is not does not reflect an endorsement by the administration or by the vice president or president. But I would refer you to the vice president's office.
Listen, you weasel, you. You stinking weasel. You wouldn't get away with this in a democracy. You'd be arrested for this. Of course he's a private citizen. But his name is Biden. He's benefiting from his relationship to the administration. End of story. Liar, liar, liar. Now it gets even better. A reporter, Matt Lee, challenges in clip two, and then the spokesmouth for the State Department again repeats the big lie. Listen to two.
Does this building diplomatically have any concerns about potential perceptions of conflict or slash cronyism, which is what you've often accused the Russians of doing?
No, he's a private citizen.
Again, arrest. Immediate arrest. Citizen's arrest. Immediate. Citizen's arrest. Next, clip three.
Consider that the Russian oligarchs who control, or the Ukrainian oligarchs who control these, they're all private citizens as well.
We certainly wouldn't put them in the same category.
No, I'm not suggesting that.
What do you mean you wouldn't put them in the same category? Why isn't Biden's son the same as a Russian oligarch? Because his name is Biden, not Abramovich? Of course they are. It's identical. Then Lee goes on. He doesn't quit. I can guarantee you after this exchange, the AP will move him into the graveyard shift. He will never fly on Air Force One again. Listen to clip four.
I'm wondering if there are concerns from this building about the perception of about how the Russians and or the Ukrainians would perceive the involvement of a son of the Vice President of the United States in this, especially given the situation.
No, there are not.
Immediate citizen's arrest. Immediate citizen's arrest of the spokesmouth. This has gone too far. Obama is so drunk on his power, using race to get where he is, using race to stay where he is, using race to push his dastardly policies down our throat, and now this corruption has reached a point of no return. I am outraged. I'm livid. There's no other word for it. Livid. L-I-V-I-D. What can I do when we have a drunk in the opposition party, John Drunk Boehner, who doesn't say a word about this cronyism? This ripoff, it's frightening how anyone could call themselves a liberal. Look, I'm going to take your calls at 855-107-282 in a moment, and we're going to talk about this for a little bit. Yesterday we talked about, do you believe in God or not? And that's something most people can relate to. I don't think the average person on a hot day gives a damn about Joe Biden's son being a corrupt oligarch, but I do, and I'll be back to tell you why.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Listening to the Savage Nation, we're back across America. And, you know, it's hard enough talking about the liars and the corruption in the Obama administration on a daily basis. What's even worse is dealing with the liars, the scoundrels in the fake conservative media, such as Brent Bozo of CNSNews.com. Brent Bozo is one of the most jealous men in the media. He's a wholly owned subsidiary of Rush and Sean Hannity and their followers. He has the nerve to attack Mike Rogers before he even begins on the radio because he got the job, and this little twerp, Brent Bozell, got nothing but a loser website. He's apparently on Hannity's show every other night. But here's where I draw the line. He said Cumulus replaced Hannity's show with the embarrassing Michael Savage. His numbers, too, are dropping. I challenge you, Brent Bozo, right now to come on my show and prove my numbers are dropping. You are a bigger liar than Obama is. You have no credibility whatsoever. You're a liar through and through. And let me tell you something. We know how bad Obama and the Democrats are. But when you start seeing it coming from the Rush cartel against me, tell me who's the bigger liar? Who's the biggest scandal? Who is the biggest scoundrel? Obama, because he is what he is? Or L. Brent Bozell? And CNS News that pretends he's a conservative, and he knows what a conservative is, and he lies about it. My numbers are growing. My numbers are not dropping, you little liar, you. You stinking little man, you liar, you. You're nothing. I worked every day of my life to have what I have, and no little man like you is going to take it away, you little twerp, you. I challenge you, L. Brent Bozell, to come on the show and prove my numbers are dropping. January, I'd be Hannity on WABC and everywhere else that I appear on the major markets. February, March, April, number one on WABC 12+. You lousy little liar. And how any of you could go on these sites and take them seriously and think that they represent you is beyond me. Here I am talking about a scandal as large as Joe Biden's son. Cronyism. A new oligarch taking a job with a Ukrainian oil natural gas producer. Say, okay, the Democrats are bad. And what? The conservatives are good? Who? Conservatives like who? Conservatives like who? And he attacks this guy, Mike Rogers, because he got the position. And this little L. Brent Bozell has been dying to have a radio job ever since he could crawl. He's got a loser website, probably makes nothing a year. Every other day he's on the Hannity Show. How do you feel about fraudulent websites like CNSNews.com putting out fake news against me in order to prop up Hannity? How do you feel about L. Brent Bozell lying when he says my numbers are collapsing when they're rising? How do you feel about that? Because I'll tell you how I feel about that. They're tied together. Biden's son, liar. CNS News and other fake conservative sites, worse.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, you think your money in the bank is safe? Don't bank on it. A generation ago, bank accounts felt secure, and they paid interest. This encouraged the virtue of thrift and saving, building a prosperous America of opportunity. But today, we live in a new world order of banking. Accounts pay virtually nothing and have shifted from low risk to high risk for at least 19 reasons, explained in a new 32-page white paper from Craig R. Smith entitled Don't Bank on It. For example, did you know your money deposited in most U.S. banks could be subject to limited withdrawal, you heard me, and even confiscated by existing executive orders and international law, huh? Oh, yes, and that's just reason number one. You still think your bank deposits are safe? Listen, people, I got to tell you something. I marked out the independent conservative category 15 years ago in radio. Now, others have, you know, copied. That's fine. They wanted to pretend they're not Republicans. I want you to understand that if someone labels themselves a conservative, you better reach for your Glock, because they're probably a bigger liar than the Democrat. The Democrat is what he is. He's a liberal. He's proud of being a liberal. He may not know everything that this administration is doing, but he doesn't hide it. The people who label themselves conservatives and wear it as a badge are usually totally corrupt. And I will give you some evidence to that effect in a moment. The big topic, which we are not to lose focus on, is how do you feel about Joe Biden's son working for Ukrainian natural gas producer? And that's what you're calling 855-407-282 about. But in the middle of this, I stumbled upon an article by a hideous little website called CNS News, run by this fake activist, Brent Bozo, who calls himself the head of the conservative movement. We just did a little research on him. You're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. I'm reading right now. Neil, where'd you find this? Okay, Bozell served as president of the Parents Television Council from 1995 to 06. Now, you know, many liberals hate conservatives who tell them what to watch and what to say, and they don't like censorship, right? Bozell serves on the board of the Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights. Now, what does that tell you? That's the same organization that's attacked me for disclosing that the Pope's message was Marxist. The Catholic League, run by William Donahue, was my big friend when I defended them during the molestation scandals, and no one else was doing it. But the minute I said the Catholic League has gone overboard by demanding amnesty for illegal aliens, and all they want to do is fill the pews with illegal aliens who are Catholic, they attacked me. This guy, Bozell, lied about me when he said, he can call me embarrassing, I really don't care, my numbers are great. But he lied when he said my numbers are collapsing, that Cumulus is wrong for replacing Hannity with me. No, my numbers are enormous. My numbers are enormous, you little... Oh, boy. You know, I got to tell you something. I may be a little older, but I was born in the Bronx, Bozo. And one thing we learned when I was very young was if someone tries to take away from you what is yours, you better take away what is theirs first. Bozell, I challenge you to come on this show, and I will rip you to shreds on this show for the liar you are. And I will say this, the Creative Syndicate should know that Bozell is a liar. The Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, the Washington Times, the New York Post, the LA Times, the National Review. Shame on you for publishing this twerp's articles. Another poseur as a real conservative. The Pope of conservatism. The Pope of conservatism. I don't care what he calls himself, but he's not going to lie about me and my numbers. Now, I stumbled on this by chance, but I'm not going to let this go. I challenge that twerp to come on the show. He goes on Wallbanger's show every day. Him, Wallbanger, Limbaugh, the lawyer who worked for the lawyer who hates government worked for the government. I love that one. I love the lawyer who worked for the government as a government lawyer for the Reagan administration, now poses as a conservative who hates government.
Send Fredo off to do this, send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things, I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb, I'm smart, and I want the stakes.
So you have Fredo, you have Limbaugh, you have Wallbanger, and you have me. Take your choice. You can have them all if you want. But I've only got me and my career to defend. And nobody will smear mud. No one will throw mud at me and get away with it if it's a lie. This guy lied in his column, and I'm calling him out. Now let's move on. We'll talk about Biden. I made it very personal. Why? Because if we're talking about the Democrats day and night and their corruption and their lies, and then I find these fake conservatives being as corrupt and as just a bigger liar, they're only angry because they're no longer in power. They're only waiting for a Republican to come back so they can take a job back in the government and leave radio or go to the conferences, be invited to the White House, take pictures with the Republican dolt who's the president. What do you think it's about? What the heck do you think it's about? It's a group of hacks, petty intellectuals who are out of work, basically, who had to find other means for making a living. So they creep into the media. They write columns saying Democrats bad and they're good. And anyone who's not part of their little clique, they lie about and they smear. And now they attack Mike Rogers. I mean, Mike Rogers is a congressman. Mike Rogers was an FBI man. Mike Rogers was a military man. Who is this Brent Bozo attacking him like this for no reason? Before he even went on the radio. Why? Why is he ripping a man apart before the man starts? Why? There's only one reason, jealousy. He's been waiting in the wings to be brought back into the Reagan years, waiting in the wings to be picked up by Cumulus to be put on the radio. Instead, they pick someone legitimate, and they leave him in the dirt. So he starts screaming, the guy they picked is no good, before the guy even begins. So how does that make you feel that you know now, definitively, that the whole conservative movement is riddled with liars and thieves? The entire, in other words, you wear a badge, conservative, and you're good? You wear a bitch. I'm a conservative. Oh, what do you got, a halo over your head? Are you kidding me? God. God, it sickens me. It really gets me sick. I'm in a sweat over this. Ralph on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Let me tell you, Michael, you have single-handedly turned that WABC around. Whereas I gave it up for dead, Michael, years ago, and then when you inevitably came on board, I said to myself, now we're going to hear the truth for the first time in the afternoon. And you know, when you mentioned that today, Michael, you know, I don't call often, but we've talked before.
I recognize your voice. I have a great ear. You're the actor, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
I haven't heard from you in a year. I was on the letter deficient station the last I heard from you, where they put that sad sack Hannity, whose numbers are in the toilet. And look, I got to tell you something. I'm so happy to be on ABC and all these other great Cumulus stations because that's where I belong. It's where I've always belonged. It's my last home in radio. Whether it's another couple of years or if God gives me more and they want me, fine. If not, that will have been a great couple of years. But I want to say this, Ralph. I was once on WABC before that letter deficient station across the street. Do you know that my ratings were higher than that of the New York Yankees?
Well, I believe that, Michael. I listen to you in the evenings. And let me say this. I'm not a conservative, and my friends are as lefty as you can possibly be. You know the world in which I come.
Oh, yes. The thespians are as close to the IANs as you can possibly get.
And everyone, let me let you know this, because it'll make you very happy. Everyone listens to you. We listen to you in the dressing room. While preparing for the show, we listen to... I cannot tell you the range that you have here in Manhattan alone. It's incredible, Michael.
Well, first of all, I'm thrilled to hear that I'm still from Manhattan, even though I haven't lived there for 54 years. You don't want to hear something about New York? I'm going to get into a drift now. I love to watch movies or documentaries about New York in the 50s and 60s when all the cars were American cars, people wore good clothing in the streets. The buildings, you know, black and white. Like when they're showing Mafia in New York, like Joey Gallo last night on Mobsters. I love that show. So I see New York in the 50s, Umberto's Clam House. I mean, that's the New York I remember. I know it's different. It looks like Caracas now.
Well, those of us who are free thinkers and we can think outside the box, how much of Limbaugh, how much of Hannity can you stand Republican good? Like you say, Republican good, Democrat bad, day in, day out, day in. We can't take it anymore, so they're... People that are free thinkers, Michael, have a head on their shoulders, will turn to you every single time.
Well, I think they like my passion, my insights, my intellect, whatever. And the thing is, they understand as the professional actors that what I'm doing is as real as it gets. They can hear it in my voice. They know how hard this is. They know you can't fake it. And when I really get off on a tangent like I did now with this Brent Bozell who smeared me with a big lie, they can feel that emotion through the speakers, can't they?
We're uncanny when it comes to those type of things. We know a phony when we hear one. And, you know, I'd rather have someone in whom I disagree with than have some fake phony just feed me the same nonsense every day. See, when they can't beat you, Michael, they'll start to lie about you. That's a sign that you've gotten their goat. And you've got.
Hey, Ralph, I'm thinking about moving back to New York City for the last years of my life. All my ancestors are buried there. Should I move to Manhattan? I could be on WABC Live.
Well, it's a little rough, you know. I'll tell you something. Half of my paycheck goes out the window, and every single time it does, I say I got to get out of here. But frankly,
well, wait, hold it, Ralph, hold it. I got to tell you, when I was young, we were told that at least one third of your paycheck after taxes should pay your rent. I'm talking about four decades ago. So what? It's a little bit more now. If you wanted a little better, look, when I was working, and a third of my paycheck went for rent, it ate me alive. I hated it. I wanted to live in the West Village. I died for an apartment. Brick wall, fireplace, studio. It was $135 a month. Laughable, right? I couldn't afford it. I could not afford $135 a month. I had to live out in Queens because I can only afford half my paycheck for rent or 40%. So nothing really has changed, Ralph.
Well, I live on the Upper West Side and the back...
Hold on. Stay on the... I want to have a little conversation about this. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
It's the Savage Nation. I think that fake conservatives should be spayed before they're let loose like the mad dogs that they are onto the political landscape, because they're far more dangerous than the lib Marxists in that we know who lib Marxists are. They don't even hide it. But these fake conservatives use conservatism as a weapon simply for their own personal gain. So if I'm talking about the vice president's son and cronyism and Hunter Biden getting a position with Ukrainian natural gas producer, and I say this is as bad as any oligarchy, if not worse, and we're incensed over that. In the middle of it, I see a site like CNS News making up stories that my ratings are collapsing when the reverse is true, simply because in the same camp with Hannity. You understand what I'm saying here? Ralph, let's go back to you on WABC in New York. Ralph, where were we when we left off?
Well, I was saying how you're booming when they're telling their lies. They can tell whatever lie they want. Those of us in the know you're as popular as ever. Right?
Well, my numbers have greatly, greatly, greatly succeeded those of Hannity on ABC and the other big markets, MAL. If you go to michaelsavage.com, you'll see the numbers and the markets. I mean, they're clear. He's being crushed wherever I appear opposite him. I didn't want to talk about him anymore, but I'm not going to let these PR hacks that he has all over the blogosphere get away with this. I forget them all, Ralph. I'm talking about me. I've been living in California since 1974. I'm thinking of moving back to Manhattan, or at least going back and forth. Do you think it's a bad idea?
No, I think it's a good idea for somebody in your position. I think you should. If you feel that, Michael, if you feel that, that's telling you, you should go ahead and do it.
Well, San Francisco is a sleepy hollow. There's nothing going on here. It's a dead city. They like to believe that they're the epitome of coolness and the tip of the, arrow and all that. It's pathetic. It's like a bunch of out-of-towners pretending to be cool. That's what it really is. Always been here, out here. Fake artists wherever you turn. Fake writers who never got anywhere. No newspapers. Nothing. It's beautiful physically. The Bay Area is the most beautiful place on earth that I've ever been in physically. But intellectually, it's a desert. It's a desert.
Well, you found the beauty out there, and that's to your credit, because I've gone out there and been swallowed by the people walking around, pushing their agenda down my throat. So I come back here to the Upper West Side, Michael, and I get the same thing shoved down my throat here. So really, frankly, if I go, I can't win for losing, but, I would tune into Hannity. Let me just tell you this. And it didn't matter what day it was, I'd get the same thing. It could be a Monday, it could be a Friday. Didn't matter what day I tuned in, I could can it, like canned radio, and say, well, I know he's going to talk about that, this. I know what side he's going to take. I know just exactly what he's going to do. With you, I never know where you're coming from, which makes you great.
Well, I think we've covered this sufficient. All I can say is lately that Manhattan's been on my mind all over again. I left in 1967, I think. I've gone back when my mother was alive before she moved to Florida, then she passed away. My mother, my father, my brother are buried in New York in cemeteries. I mean, it's the land of my ancestors, Ralph. So, there's a strong affinity for that kind of thing. You understand that?
Well, people do come home at the, they do come.
That's odd if that's where I go home. But if I really want to go home, I have to go to Minsk in the Ukraine. No, I'm saying, wouldn't it be odd if I have to go home all the way to Russia to find a relative freedom from the oppression of this administration?
Well, if you're longing to that badly, I feel for you. But,
I don't panimayesh paruski. That's the problem. It's a tough language for me. I love how Americans listen to foreigners speak English and they kind of patronize them, thinking how cute they are. Oh, how cute those Russians are with their broken English. Do they have any idea how hard it would be for them to try to speak Russian or Spanish? It's really hard. See, at a certain point in your life, Ralph, it's almost impossible to learn a new language.
Went back to Italy. I didn't recognize it. I was there 15 years ago. It's changed drastically. I couldn't find an Italian in Italy. How strange is
that? What, were they all Marinites in Tuscany?
They were everything but my ancestors were there. And I expected to see them.
Where in Italy are your ancestors from? What town? What village?
Naples.
It's interesting to me. You're a Napoli Don, in other words.
Yes, I am.
So you must have liked The Sopranos, especially when... did you like The Sopranos as a show?
I will tell you my secret about The Sopranos. I appeared a couple of times on the program. I thank God for the work, but it did stereotype us a little bit. I mean, see, Frank...
Who were you? Which were you? Were you the... Which part were you?
I actually played an attorney a couple of times. Actually a good guy. There were a few good guys on that show.
Very funny. One of my favorite scenes that I don't want to get too off the beaten track here was when the enforcer from Sicily with the ponytail goes back to Naples for his father's funeral. And he's standing up there with all the mausoleums. His father's been buried. His uncle, his father's brother, who's living, is a real short Italian guy, obviously, with long white hair, maybe 75 years old. And the translation went like this. He says, "Don't be sad. Your father had a lot of women. That's all we can hope for in this world." I thought it was one of the most killer lines I've ever seen at a funeral in the movies in my entire life. Who wrote that? Who wrote that? Who could come up with a thing like that? Don't be sad. Your father had a lot of women. It's all we can hope for in this world. How Italian can that be, Ralph?
That's what made that show great. David Chase had an ability to capture that the real Italian way with...
Yeah. Hey, Ralph, say hello to your thespian friends. It's almost the end of this hour.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-728. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
New York, if I can make it there, I'll make it.
I've been there in a long time. I know the real estate's expensive, but I live in San Francisco, and I'm used to it. I'm used to the liberal oligarchs here pretending that they're down with the people. And on the Savage Nation in the first hour, if you just joined us, we were talking about the shocking tale of deceit that the vice president's son, Hunter Biden, would take a position on the board of directors, no less, with a Ukraine natural gas producer. It's just stunning, stunning. In Napoleon's time, it was called nepotism. It brought down, I think, Napoleon III. In the Russian period of corruption, it was called the oligarch sacking the nation. And yet Obama's just warming up. Every day he tries to push the agenda. We also talked about the corruption within the fake conservative movement. Websites that attack me because I'm not in their exchange. I'm not part of their conservative stock exchange. They can't make any money through me, and so they make things up about me. My numbers are rising on all of the major stations where I appeared. Hannity's star has fallen, and everyone knows that. That's why they pushed him into Siberia on television, and wherever they put him on radio, where he appears opposite me in the major markets. I beat him. It's that simple. He's not my enemy, but I am in competition with the guy, and I'm beating him. You can't lie about the numbers, and we're talking about that. And there are other topics. There are other topics. I don't know what else I want to talk about right now. Topics and questions were, how do you feel about the Russian oligarchy now that we have the American oligarchy under Joe Biden? Do you fear that we're now becoming the Soviet Union of old? Were you surprised by this? Now, yesterday we talked about God or no God. I said, do you still believe in God? And if you don't believe in God, what do you believe in? What keeps you away from organized religion, and why do you take part in organized religion? I realized at night that the average person listening to a radio talk show could call about God. Everyone thinks about that one way or the other. Either they think of God or they don't think there is no God. Right? So they could answer that. But they can't talk about oligarchies. They don't really understand what to say about Hunter Biden taking a position with a Ukraine oil producer. All they know is it is so corrupt, it's so rotten, it stinks so high to heaven. That their heart actually probably skips a beat. Their heart probably skips a beat that they're so naked with their power, they're so drunk on their power, that they will do anything now. It's called rape a nation. They're raping the nation from top to bottom. And they're getting away with it. The only one who stood up to them was an AP reporter. I was shocked that an AP press reporter, Matt Lee, brought it up at the State Department and tried to get an answer out of them. I can guarantee you Matt Lee is not invited to the White House Easter egg roll next year. I can guarantee you that much. No, that's for sure. And then there's Obama on the illegal alien issue. He's warming up on that one. Getting ready to screw us royally on that. Listen to clip number 5 from the liar-in-chief on the Savage Nation. Number 5.
Keep in mind some of these statistics you may have already heard. It's estimated that over 80% of the folks who are here on an undocumented basis have been here 10 years or longer.
You liar. Stop, liar. Liar. Liar in chief, stop. 30% of all prisoners are illegal aliens. Liar. They make it up. They invent it. Listen to the liar. How is he going to grant amnesty to the 30% of prisoners who are illegal aliens? How do you let him get away with it? And by the way, let's put that aside. Can you, a liberal listening to the show, do you really want 30 million illegal aliens made citizens? Will that make you feel better? I want to know why. Who's going to pay for their health care? Who's going to pay for their everything else? Who's going to pay for the social services for their children, for their wives, for their grandfathers? Are you people crazy? Who's going to pay for, you can't afford an apartment, but you want to give an apartment to an illegal alien? You're bellyaching about the price of medical care, but they're going to get it for free? What's wrong with you? Just make it an economic issue. How can you grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens and not understand that you're going to be bankrupted from this? Most of them are not. Okay, start again, clip five. I won't say a word. It's five.
Keep in mind some of these statistics you may have already heard. It's estimated that over 80% of the folks who are here on an undocumented basis have been here 10 years or longer. Now, these are folks who are woven into the fabrics of our communities. Their kids are going to school with our kids. Most of them are not making trouble. Most of them are not causing crimes. And yet, we put them in this untenuous position.
Liar. Just a liar. I mean, look, what do you think he was hired for? Because he's a liar, a skilled liar. Politicians are skilled liars, by and large. He's the most skilled, so he became president. The better you lie, the higher up the chain you go. So when he says that 80% of here are over 10 years, and so what? So what does that mean? 30% of illegal alien of prisoners are illegal aliens. So now listen to clip six from the commander-in-chief.
It creates a situation in which your personnel, who've got to go after gangbangers and need to be going after
your personnel,
violent criminals and
what?
Deal with
your
a whole
personnel?
Range of challenges and who have to cooperate with DHS around our counterterrorism activities. You've got to spend time.
You've got to?
Dealing with somebody who's not causing any other trouble other than the fact that they were trying to make a living for their
family. What is he talking about?
That's just not a good use of our resources. It's not smart. It doesn't make sense.
It's a lie. They want cheap labor. They want Democrat voters. The Republicans want the same. They don't care whether the Democrats get them or not, because the Republicans answer to the Better Business Bureau, and the big money wants the workers, so they could care less, actually, whether they're in power or not. You don't seem to understand that the Republicans are doing just well, as better as they've ever done in their life, by not being in power. You don't seem to understand they love not being in power. That way they can blame Obama for all the problems in the nation and make believe that they're an opposition party. They don't want to hold the reins. They'd actually like to see this happen. So then the Better Business Bureau gets the cheap labor. The trade-off is the Democrats get the votes, and they all win from this. But the people have to pay the price. It doesn't matter to them because they don't care. They're not personally responsible. Can anyone listening to this show who is a liberal, a do-gooder, who uses eco-toilet paper, not the soft toilet paper that normal people use, but the holy toilet paper, the stuff that's made of wood fiber, from old trees that are not virgin trees, because you see the soft paper comes from virgin trees, which causes global warming. So the true test of an eco warrior is the hippie toilet paper. And that's the true test. If you actually use hippie toilet paper, the stuff that you would find, let's say, in it's as rough as that found on a Greyhound bus, or let's say in the New York Port Authority bus terminal. Let me go into one of those places. I mean, it's astounding. I can guarantee you Air Force One doesn't have the hippie toilet paper. You just know that they do not have the toilet paper with wood fiber in it. You know they're using the virgin tree toilet paper up on that Air Force plane. But all kidding aside, can anyone here who's a card-carrying member of the communist establishment who believes in the myth of global warming, and can you really tell me why we should grant amnesty to illegal aliens and why my Skype won't go back up? I'm addicted to Skype now. Or we can talk about Ukraine, we can talk about the oligarchy, we can talk about the fakes who pin a badge of conservative on their halo, and they make believe that they're better than the Democrats. 855-400-7282. Kate on WALG Radio, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure to speak with you. And you're talking about thinking about coming home to New York. And I think it might be a good idea. Let's face reality. You're born here, raised here, and it's in your DNA. You still.
Well, you're calling from what state? Where are you, ALG? Where's that city?
Actually, I'm not in the city. I think those numbers might be wrong. I'm up in the Saratoga region. And
Wow. Oh, you're up in the foothills.
No.
Yeah, you're in Saratoga Springs. My father, when he was a boy, got a job driving an assemblyman around. During the Great Depression, he used to tell me about the gambling facilities up at Saratoga Springs. It's a very pretty place. Do they still have springs up there?
I'm sorry, what? The springs?
Thanks for the call. I got distracted. I've been gone from New York so long, I don't know if I can adapt. I mean, when I go there, you know, I visit an agent, a publisher. I enjoy it a lot. I stay in a great hotel. Last time I was there was 2 years ago. I saw my agent, my literary agent, my publishers. Had him up on the deck of the hotel. We had drinks. went to an Italian restaurant that wasn't that great, you know, but it's fun. It's a different scene. But what, so what? At the end of the day, I like my world. I like my world. Teddy and I by the bay, hypocrites wherever I turn. What could be better? I mean, give me a normal morning in the day of Michael Savage. I have an old Jaguar as a hobby car. I rarely drive it, a 1970 XK I bought last year, right? I keep it in a garage. It was a very hot day today, so I put the top up, went up to a garage I keep it, and I drove it and the clutch went. Not really. A pregnant woman with a baby carriage and a cell phone was crossing the street, walked right out of nowhere. They don't even pause, by the way. It's like, come and kill me. I don't care. Look, I'm a polite driver. I don't want to hurt anybody. There she goes, across the street. I have to lurch to a halt. A yak, 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 yak. The belly's got another one, a carriage, a cell phone. Doesn't shut the mouth. Doesn't even look. They just assume that the world is a safe place, and the whole world spins around them. So naturally, I've come to a halt. Out of nowhere, she jumped out of a bush with a carriage. I had babies. If I'm going to push a child, I didn't use it as a weapon. I didn't push a carriage like a weapon in front of a car. I feared for my child's life. What's wrong with these lunatics? Come to a halt. I try to get it in gear, and it's not synchro. Like, oh, God, the grinding gears. Suddenly, I'm back in Queens with the old Jaguar stuck on the Upper East Side. I had to leave it overnight. I sold it for $800. The maroon XK150, I got rid of it the next day. I couldn't stand it. Anyway, it's a hobby. So that was that. Then I double-clutched it. And then by the time I got it home, limping home, there was no clutch at all. Meaning the clutch was working in third gear. I kept it in third all the way home. But the clutch pedal went all the way to the floor. So that means I lost pressure somewhere. It means I have a clutch, but no clutch pressure. I don't know how to fix this. I called, so a mechanic's going to come over. He said, maybe it'll restore with the ding, the da. Who knows? I couldn't wait to get into my old, you know, my regular Wilhelm the Mercedes. Air conditioning, automatic, a hot rod on a 4,000, 5,000-pound hot rod. Faster than most sports cars, the S600 with a V12. I mean, you got to give it to the German engineering. So, I don't know. It's one of those days. The radio's working good, except now 10 minutes I'm staring at a blank screen. Dallas Control, I can't see Neil's, the back of his head. I cannot see Robert's Batman mask. But I know that there's a control room in Dallas running my show while I sit here on a hillside in San Francisco overlooking the world. I can only see me in the Skype thing. I don't like how I look lately. I'm looking at my... I don't really like that part of it. It's like Skype is, you can see them, fine, and in a small screen on the bottom, you see you. I don't like the way I look. It's a bad angle. I don't like the short-sleeve shirt I'm wearing. I look like Rush Limbaugh. It's a bad angle. Terrible. If I were him, I would never, ever do the... You know, at a certain point, it's like... You know, at a certain point, you don't show yourself like that. You put on a cloak and no one ever sees you again. Why would you display yourself like that? That's why I don't do public appearances. I don't want to disappoint you. I'm not a movie star. I'm a radio talk show host. I'm great on radio. You can fall in love with my voice. But as they used to say, I have a face for radio. It's true. I mean, I'm not apologizing about it. It's the way I was made. God made me. That's how he wanted me to be. So, what do you want to talk about on the program today? Are we hell-bent on politics or on any other topic? Albuquerque. I haven't heard from KKOB in a while. Leo in Albuquerque, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure to speak with you, sir. You are the undisputed martial arts master of the airwaves. And
naturally, I love that because I'm not a martial artist. I'll be right back. Stay there. Don't go away.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Let's have clip 11, Al Gore, because you're not going to believe the level of lies from Al Gore and others. I mean, hold it. This is the Al Gore who sold his network to Al Jazeera. As you well know, Al Jazeera is not our ally. They're probably our enemy in the war on terror, in my estimation. Al Gore, one of the most corrupt people in the history of the American political landscape, who made up the entire story of global warming and has made tens of millions of dollars, if not more, off of it, whose father worked for Arm & Hammer as president of the Occidental Coal Company after leaving the Senate, the man who grew up on coal money, now peddles the green lie. Listen to what this man, Al Gore, says in clip 11.
I think that the American political system is now an utter catastrophe. I think that our democracy has been hacked. The operating system of American democracy no longer functions the way our founders intended it to function. It is now too frequently commandeered by special interests and powerful actors who have found ways to hack it, who found ways to make it work for their more narrow purposes.
Could you believe Al Gore would say anything like this and believe anybody would take him seriously? A man who hacked the political system for personal gain, a man who sold his network, his failing network, to, I would have to say, our enemies in the war on terror, Al Jazeera, a man who makes a fortune off the big global warming lie, is telling us that special interests have hacked our democracy. Is that any different than fake conservative sites like CNS.com saying that Michael Savage's ratings are going down when they're going up because I'm not a part of their Catholic League buddy system? I'm not part of the Catholic League buddy club. They declared war on me, and they're lying, and I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. It just started today. Until they retract their lie, I'm going to keep it up. And you're going to stop going on to CNS.com once you find out. If they're lying about me, what are they? Then what do you believe them? We know the left lies. Gore lies. We know that. Now you think anyone wears a conservative badge tells you the truth? That they're the Eagle Scouts? They're the good ones? So how do you put that together with a site like CNSnews.com, which is part of the Rush Hannity, camp? That's fine. They can be a front man for them. They're allowed to be. Attacking a man who's not even yet on radio named Mike Rogers, saying he's no good and Cumulus is no good. This is before the man even went on the radio. And in the same article, attacking me, saying, how could they pick that embarrassment, Michael Savage, to replace Sean Hannity when his numbers are collapsing? The opposite is true. My numbers are up everywhere and Hannity's in the toilet. In the garbage can, wherever he appears opposite me. That loser hack can't keep up with me. That's okay. He's losing. So he has a double-talking website like that lying for him. And they pose as conservatives? And look at the man's background, L. Brent Bozo.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855.
It is a wonderful time to be alive. As the ancient Greeks said, it's good to live in interesting times. And we are living in very interesting times. And as I've said before, Obama is not the sun and the moon and the stars. Congress is not the sun, the moon, and the stars. There's a bigger world out there than these liars in skirts and suits. I mean, it's hard to ignore what they're doing to us, wrecking a nation, wrecking a healthcare system, wrecking one system after another, destroying the military, destroying the schools, destroying the churches. It's hard to ignore it, but occasionally there's another topic, you know, here and there. You know, occasionally you're interested in astrology, astronomy, astrophysics, microphysics, microcephalics, any topic. I mean, to me, it's the world's a freak show. I always liked the Ringling Brothers. When I was a boy, my favorite part of the circus was the freak show. You can't call it that. I understand. I'm talking about history in context. They called it a freak show. You went downstairs. You saw the one-breasted man with a beard. Today he's running HHS. You saw the poor microcephalic today. They're running to the State Department with a ketchup bottle, etc. But they scared me as a child. Children are afraid of anomalies like that. They are. I remember when a midget once touched me outside Madison Square Garden. I screamed. I got lost in the crowd. I was coming out. I don't know how. A huge crowd after a circus. And I thought my mother was next to me. And I reached over. I must have been five. And I said, Ma, and I touched. And it was not my mother's hand, but a midget. I got scared. I screamed. I thought it was catching. Who knows? You know, I didn't say I still think that. I'm giving you a child's view and why children are interested in odd people, odd things, and how the world is so different today. That's all. I used to go to Coney Island, and now that I'm reminiscing, to the Wax Museum, and I used to like to go into the dioramas of the murderers. Oh, that was frightening. You know, I remember there was like the George Metesky, the Mad Bomber. And whoever the wax guys were really frighteningly close to the pictures in the Daily News at the time. George Metesky makes a bomb as he's about to put it on a subway car. You know, as a child's fascinating. 11 years old, you ride the subway all the way out. Took hours to go from Queens to far, I don't know where it was, Coney Island and Rockaway, I think. I don't even remember. And we'd have to go through the Wildings gangs, resist getting killed on a subway car, even then. You're a different race. They try to beat you up on the subway. You had to defend yourself on the way to Coney Island. And it went on. I mean, it didn't just start. And then you get there and you go in the wax museum. And then there was this chicken farmer guy scared everyone in New York. I forget his name, but he used to, like, dismember people. And he had a little, he was a chicken. He, like, worked on a chicken farm in New Jersey. He scared the heck out of me. They showed him so realistically. I have nightmares to this day. They showed him like a demon inside his room. Like blood all over his face with people's bodies underneath the bed. A leg sticking out as the police go in there. You know, to a child, it's real. This was before video. This was before, you know, just like plastic, like made of wax, the wax museum. But that was then. This is now. It's a different universe. And then it ties in a way to the rich childhood I had with my father selling antiques. Antiques. I don't mean $1 billion. I mean 100 million. I don't mean stuff that the Russian oligarchs who stole a nation would buy. Not that kind of antiques. I mean, he sold, you know, art stuff from the last century before to the bourgeois nouveau riche, whatever, who wanted a nice lamp made out of a bronze, whatever, a clock, a this or that, a statue or this or that, jewelry. And we would deliver it all over New York, out to the island, this and that. You know, people would buy it. I'd go to Riverhead to some rich man's estate. Rich man, rich, oh, rich man. The rich man lives in Riverhead. Ooh, the rich man, he was like somehow better than us. I felt dirty going in the rich man's house. I was the immigrant's son, delivery boy. I always felt like poor and filthy. Like I was from a Dickens novel, going in like the rich man's house. Like you had to like kowtow. Yes, sir. You know, like that. You wouldn't expect this from a white boy, would you, to talk like this? I'm telling you, it was where I could relate to people. And then there was the one-breasted circus performer who liked antiques. I told you about him. Out in Long Beach. He lived in a little house in Long Beach. He liked to collect statues, beautiful statues, mainly of angels and figurines of that type. And I told you, we went in that house. It was like out of The Godfather in Long Beach. And you'd knock on the door, and I knew, and my father would say, don't laugh at him now. I couldn't laugh at him. He said, he works in the circus. He is a man with one breast, but he is a man. You know, like a beard, a half a beard and a breast. I wouldn't laugh at him. I'm 11. How could I? That's easy to figure out. Today you go to Harvard, half the people look like that. But then that was an anomaly. At Harvard they have the satanic mass run by them. But the thing is, I didn't laugh at him. I was afraid of him. Again, kids are afraid of those things. So nobody didn't like knock, knock, delivery. And he would open a crack. You couldn't even open it to get in. Because he had merchandise, like all the statues that he bought over the years from my father and others, all over the house. Not displayed properly on pedestals or put properly on the wall. They were just jammed in there like a warehouse. He would buy them obsessively, OCD on statues. So as I got older, I looked back on that, on the freak, and I think, why would he? And it's because he felt, you know, like there was something wrong with him, like he wasn't right. So he bought odd objects of beauty to try to compensate for his feelings of, you know, non-beauty, whatever. Not that profound, but for a kid, interesting. Putting two and two together on his own. Couldn't read about it. Didn't learn it in school. Learned it on the street. Learned it from Life 101. So is it any wonder you like the show? Who talks like this in this world? Who is left who knows the real world but me? I mean, there are others who know things. They don't know what I know. I know I'm a unique personality with a very, very interesting view of the world. By the way, I have to tell you this just to set the record straight. I just got the numbers. I'm not allowed to read them on the air. It's illegal. I don't even know how to download. Download now, open now, find file, ABC Ranker, blah, blah, blah. There, I got it open. On WABC in New York, which is, in essence, my flagship station, although I'm on the greatest stations in the world, BAP, MAL in Washington, LS in Chicago, really great stations, KSMO in San Francisco. I can name many, many others. We all look, everyone in the business looks to see how you're doing in New York. Because that's where I'm head-to-head with Hannity. On WABC, I cannot read the numbers, but I have the largest AQH. I can't even give you that number, average quarter hour of anyone on the station. Others are close and big. Some of them have bigger shares, but AQH, I'm number one. Imus is two. Curtis and Cooper, you precede me, are number three. Pat Kiernan is number four. And then there are others on the station who are doing very well. The station's doing great. It's thrilling at this stage of my life to be number one. I got to tell you. I mean, I hope that I would. Everyone's, oh, you'll do it. Don't worry. You don't really know. You don't know what's going to happen. But then to have CNS News lie about me? No, sir. No, sorry, Bob. You're not getting away with that. No, sorry, Bob. I'm showing you that when somebody wears a badge saying, I am a conservative, watch out. Watch out, my friends, whether it's running for office or running a website. That's simple. It's really on my mind is the clutch in my Jag. That's all that's on my mind. No, I can't wait till the show's over. I got a call about tires and clutches. I'm kidding. The clutch. Anyone out there is a clutch expert, like a guy with a used, who drives like an old stick shift? In other words, if the clutch went when I came to an abrupt halt in an old car, and then I had trouble getting it back in gear, I know the synchro went, so I double-clutched it all the way back up the hill, then I double-clutched it to get ba-ba, drove it home, and the clutch kept going closer to the floor till there was no friction at all, and I was in third gear, and I just went all the way home in third gear. I said, if the light turns red, I'm going through it. One of those, because I'm not getting broken down in this heat. The dog was already frightened. He saw me getting angry and screaming at the car. He was whimpering underneath the dashboard. No, he wasn't whimpering, but I saw he was freaked. He looked at my eyes. Yeah, dogs are. Oh, God, Dad's upset. God, we were just having such a good time. What's wrong with you, Michael? You were coasting along. What's with the anger? The clutch went, Teddy. What do you want from me? What do you want me to feel? He don't know what a clutch is. He knows that God is driving a car in which he is, and God's angry because his clutch went. He thinks we're God. Yeah, they think you're God. You give them food. You take food. You leave them alone. You take them. You feed them. You clothe them. You protect them. So you are God to them. They didn't ask to be born. You have to protect them. The reason we all like little dogs now is that we feel protective. Something. Women don't need us anymore. Women don't need our protection. They're tougher than we are. Get away from me. I can do it on my own. We don't need men. Well, I mean, we don't need men. Nothing. Nobody needs a man anymore. So a lot of guys are like, get little dogs. They have something that needs them. I see a lot of big guys with muscles, with tattoos in parking lots. Cute little dogs. Go up to the guy, and it's cute. How come you have a little dog? Yeah, you expect him to have a mastiff, right? With like a thing on its neck, with like spittle coming out of the side, looking like Winston Churchill's housekeeper or something. But no, it's like a little, with a ribbon in its head. Big guy, muscles just out of San Quentin. Why do they like little dogs? Because they can give protection to the little dog. They can give something on earth protection. The women don't need you. Nothing. They've succeeded. The women's movement has succeeded. They don't need you anymore. So that's why little dogs are in. WBAP in Dallas. Kurt, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Kurt?
Mike, I appreciate it. Hey, there's four main reasons why that you're well-liked and you're doing good. Number one, you learn something every day that's new. You're not overly repetitive like the wallpaper hanger.
Yeah.
You get historical perspectives, Crimea, Ukraine, the Italianos, whatever it is. And number four, the piece de la resistance, the coup de grace, the icing on the cake, the cuckoo clock.
Oh, we haven't run that one, Neil. That was the funniest thing we did all year. You mean when we play Nancy Pelosi with a cuckoo clock behind her?
Al Gore with a cuckoo clock.
You know, we could. Let's do that for the new listener out there who hasn't heard the cuckoo. Let us run Al Gore, the biggest fraud in the history of the world. He exceeds Kim Jong. We don't have the clock? Oh, it didn't get to Dallas? Oh, we have Looney. Yeah, but the cuckoo's better. When can you get the cuckoo from San Francisco down to Dallas? Okay, he's going to get it in a minute. We're going to ship it over to Dallas by whatever. 855-400-728. Thanks for that call from WBAP. I'm going to do a tour. I don't know when. Everyone says, Michael, you got to own it. You're doing well. You've worked 20 years for what you have. Go to Dallas. Do a show from there. See Dallas. I must say, I've never been in the fair city of Dallas. Go to Chicago. Go to State Street. Have a steak. Have a steak. Go to the stockyards. Go to WLS. Do a show. Go to New York, WABC. Look at 34th Street. Go visit the ancestors down in the graves. That should be fun. That'll be very nice. Yeah. Okay, next stop. Yeah, next stop. That's the next stop. Okay, Mom, Dad, how you doing? Brother, how are you? No, I'm not ready yet. No, see you in a while. Not ready for that one. L-I-E, into the tunnel, into Manhattan. Ha-ha, meal. Umberto's Clam House. How's the food? Not so great. Tourist trap. Let's go to another Italian restaurant out in Brooklyn where there's real food. Oh, they closed it down? It was found to be a cigar store. Okay. So it comes down to a meal and a bed. Go do your show at WMAL in Washington. You have relatives there. Go visit relatives. Go visit the Air and Space Museum in Washington, which I love, by the way. My favorite museum in the world. The best air museum in the world is in Britain. I'm not allowed to go there, but the day I go back to Britain to look at my plant collections in the Kew Gardens, I will look at the Air and Space Museum. I want to see a SPAD from World War One. I blew the slave cylinder on my clutch. Oh, C. Marcucci of RBR. He must be a car fanatic. I blew the slave cylinder? Is that somehow a racist? Can I be arrested for racism on that? You blew the slave cylinder on your clutch? Neil, can I be arrested for that? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to crash the slave cylinder. I don't even like the name slave cylinder when it's in like a parts book. It seems offensive to me. Can't they call it the accessory cylinder or the additional cylinder, clutch additional cylinder? It's so offensive, slave cylinder. Actually, have a thing. I know there's a slave thing on the brakes that I replaced, but not that. All right, we'll have to order one from the Jaguar parts guy. I'm looking forward to do that. Do we have Cuckoo yet? Neil? No? All right, we got to put... But we do have Looney, right? Yeah, but we don't have Lancey Pelosi. Lancey Pelosi. Yeah, okay, let's play either Al Gore or Obama with Looney. Let's just play either one of them, just for a little flavor.
I think that the American political system is now an utter catastrophe. I think that our democracy has been hacked. The operating system of American democracy no longer functions the way our founders intended it to function. It is now...
Al Gore is like gingivitis of the political mind. Al Gore is like gingivitis. I mean, there's not a dentist around who would not recognize this disease. The man is absolutely like plaque. He's like tooth plaque. Here's a guy who hacked the political system for personal gain, in my opinion, saying the political system has been hacked by hacks. Forget about it. 855-407-282. Everyone wants the cuckoo clock. I'm getting repeated calls for cuckoo clock. I thought we left that in San Francisco. Okay, we're going to look for it. We'll come right back with the cuckoo clock on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400.
It is the Savage Nation out here in the Bay Area, which is normally, you know, temperate in climate. We have a heat wave. Heat wave, heat wave. So right away, the lunatics are already out there in full force with the global warming lie. And it's just a high-pressure, you know, front, keeping the heat in the area, sucking it up from the south, southern deserts. Thursday, the fog comes back. San Francisco will be cool again by Sunday, but it hasn't stopped the liars from coming around with the signs already on the street corners with the balloons. Anyway, let's play some Rand Paul, who came out the other day and showed his true colors, which are pink, and says that people are offended by... Rand Paul, okay, another wears a badge, comes out and says that people are offended by voter ID laws. Listen to clip 14.
But it's funny because you say one thing, it goes around the circle, and it comes back, and it's completely different than what you said. I did say that maybe we shouldn't overemphasize this so much, and we need to talk about other things that try to attract new people to the party. But you know, I grew up in a family where my dad lost an election one time by 200 votes out of 200,000, and we found 3,000 illegal votes. So I'm very aware of voter fraud and think it's not that unreasonable to show your driver's license.
Okay, thanks, Rand. Go back to the legal practice. Sell Buster Brown shoes in Topeka. The little guy, Rand Paul. He can't win anyway. He's a smart guy, good platform shoes. But the thing is, he needs platform shoes to run. The short guys can't win. I'm sorry to tell you. The ages of Garibaldi are over. Mussolini, over.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. You've seen me around the neighborhood, and you've told me I'm a pretty good kid. Well, I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we could grow up and be whatever we want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. There's enough food in this country to feed everyone. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie. What's going on?
Well, honey,
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. So the illegitimate Democrat Party is on a warpath to bring amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens, no matter what the American people think. Pelosi and company want them for their own reasons. Meanwhile, this story just caught my eye. I can't believe it, but I'll read it to you on The Savage Nation. Welcome to hour number three, by the way. U.S. will circumcise 150,000 to 200,000 in Swaziland. I'm not making it up. Yeah, Saturday Night Live, no. Savage Night Live, no. U.S. will circumcise 150,000 to 200,000 in Swaziland. The United States Agency for International Development is planning to spend $24 million to circumcise an estimated 150 to 200,000 male infants and males aged 10 to 49 in the Kingdom of Swaziland. Because the Kingdom of Swaziland has the highest rates of HIV in the world, accounting for 31% HIV prevalence. My gut salts, the grant said. And apparently by circumcising the Swazis in Swaziland, they believe that they will reduce the rate of HIV. The overall goal of this new project, they say, is to increase the uptake of male circumcision services among all eligible males aged 10 to 49 in Swaziland and male infants, the grant announcement said. Interventions will contribute to the achievement of the following national outcomes: increasing the proportion of males aged 10 to 49 who are circumcised from 19% in 2010 to 45% in 2015, blah, 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 blah. An estimated 150,000 to 200,000 males will be circumcised for the project, contributing to 65% coverage by 2018. Now, why does USAID believe that circumcision per se will reduce the rate of HIV? Can anyone answer that question? Why do they assume that by increasing the rate of circumcision, they're going to decrease the rate of HIV? Is it cause and effect? Well, I know something about the subject. I have a degree in epidemiology. A PhD doesn't mean I'm the world's expert on it. I wrote a best-selling book on immunity in 1983, so I studied a little bit about immunity. But I'm bewildered by this. Why would you circumcise an entire population like this on the supposition that it will reduce the rate of HIV? I don't get it. Wouldn't some other interventions reduce the risk of HIV, such as cautioning the population about unprotected sex, about risky sexual behaviors? Wouldn't that be equally or more important than circumcision? All right, it's just a topic. I don't think you're going to call on that one. Stephen on the Internet on another topic of Biden's son going to work for Ukraine. Go ahead, please.
Hello, hello. Hi, I love your show. Hey, is Obama too much of a putz to get into this, or does this give us some kind of a reason to jump in there and protect the Ukrainian people, with we've got some interest in their oil now?
What do you mean by letting Joe Biden's son become an oligarch and become on the board of directors of the Ukraine National Gas Company? Does that increase Obama's justification for an intervention? I don't think so. I think it's sheer profiteering, just plain and simple. Just profiteering, nothing less than that. Thank you, my friend, for calling the Savage Nation. That opens up a line at 855-400-7282. WMAL, Washington, D.C. George, go ahead on the Savage Nation.
I just wanted to point out, history repeats itself. Back in the early to early 90s, late 80s, you had another vice president who had a son, Neil Bush, who got in trouble with the Silverado savings and loan. And there was hints of crony capitalism there, although I think Joe Vice President Biden's son is much worse because we're their war is breaking out.
Yes, it's one thing to be a profiteer, as that case, as you just mentioned. It's another thing to use the pretext of a war with Russia or even increasing the level of the Cold War simply for profiteering in the administration. Absolutely on a different scale of corruption.
Well, we hope to see you out here. We certainly do have the best Air and Space Museum, like you mentioned, about 20 minutes ago. So.
Oh, yes, you do. Love it. Love it. Absolutely love it to death. Also like driving by the CIA. I like it on the highway. I like going past it. Reminds me. I feel better driving past the CIA and all you know, where all the spies are. It makes me feel good. It gives me a sense of calm, peace, that all of those hardworking civil servants are working around the clock so diligently to protect us. Just makes me feel warmer and safer. I really mean that. That's why I like to drive by the area in Northern Virginia where the CIA is housed. I wish I could drive by the NSA once in a while just to get that glow, that warm glow of protectionism, that big brotherism, that patronizing feeling of being protected by a larger force than I. Let's go to the next caller on the Savage Nation, Atlanta, WCFO. Stephen, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, great talking with you.
What's on your mind? Go ahead, fire away.
Well, I'm firing away. Hey, I've been a nurse since 1996 when I moved here from Canada, and I had a real problem with letting all these people get amnesty. I had to come here from Canada on a TN visa and get my green card and get my citizenship, which took forever, and they just want to amnesty all these folks. Well, let me tell you, in the emergency departments and the hospitals all over the United States, they're losing money hand over fist because of this problem.
Well, Obama said they all come here to work. They're all good folks. They're all good people. And that they should be staying here with their families. But Obama's lying because how does he justify amnesty for 30 million to 60 million when you add up the chain migration that will result? How do you justify it when we know that 30% of all prisoners in the United States are illegal aliens who committed multiple felonies? How? There's no justification. None whatsoever. Now, yesterday on the Savage Nation, we did not get a chance to play an interview that I did for Newsmax TV, and we'll play a little bit of it right now on the Savage Nation on a topic that I think you'll find very interesting. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Michael Savage. Dr. Savage, we welcome you back to America's Forum.
Well, I'm not just talk show host. I'm at the top of the heat, but thank you very much. I have to say that I'm in the major leagues on the biggest stations in the country, and I have a huge audience, and I'm shocked that the Catholic League of all organizations would attack me when in the darkest days of the church molestation scandals, I was the only one on radio defending the church. I did so over and over again. And in my first bestseller, The Savage Nation, I defended Pius the 12th. In a great chapter was the Catholic Church silent during the Holocaust, and my conclusion with, after reading much evidence, is absolutely not. They did all that anyone could possibly do, and yet I've been attacked repeatedly, despite that the fact that I've defended the Catholic Church. So let me start, J.D., by saying I'm not Catholic myself, but I think Catholicism is a beautiful religion, and I think it unifies people in a beautiful way towards God. Having said that, that does not mean I have to accept everything that a pope says. Moreover, J.D., this Pope Francis is going against the doctrine of the Church itself, which is legitimately anti-communist. The Catholic Church has traditionally rejected communism and socialism. Not only recently, but this ideology was rejected not only a quarter of a century ago under Pope John Paul II, by the way, but this new Pope Francis, who was originally from Argentina, although he never practiced liberation theology, he was certainly shaped by it. We must not forget this. Pope Francis is the first non-European pope selected in 1400 years, J.D. Who selected him and why? Why after 1400 years did they select a man from a socialist background? Number one. Number two, the church itself eradicated this ideology of socialism nearly 25 years ago. Why is it suddenly showing its ugly head again? The Pope goes before the United Nations, who called him there. By the way, J.D., and listeners of Newsmax, he was invited to this group of top UN officials, in Rome to talk about the molestation scandals that were not covered properly according to the UN. I'm not a fan of the UN, by the way. And instead of talking about that, which he refused to talk about, he talked about legitimate redistribution of wealth. He talked about helping to curb the economy of exclusion that is taking hold today.
Michael, let me just ask you one thing about this, because some of the Pope's defenders have said, well, wait a minute, his comments are taken out of context when it comes to the notion of redistribution of wealth. Is there anything to that kind of explanation from his defenders?
I don't know. I don't know what they're talking about. I'm reading the actual quotes. He called for governments to redistribute wealth to the poor to help curb the, quote, economy of exclusion. I'm quoting him now. These are his words. He said a more equal form of economic progress could be had through, and I'm quoting J.D., the following, quote, the legitimate redistribution of economic benefits by the state.
So by definition, in your mind, Michael Savage, do you believe Pope Francis should be called a socialist pope?
I don't care what anyone calls him. I disagree with that philosophy. I pay 60% of my income through the state. I pay 39.7% federal tax. I pay 13% state tax in California. I pay local taxes. What do they want me to do, give 150% of my income?
Well,
now, let me go back. This is very important because one of my listeners has been listening to me since 1994. She's a Catholic, a devout Catholic. And she said to me, Pope Francis needs to read Pope Leo's encyclical, written in 1891, on capital and labor. J.D., can I have a minute of your time?
And we got about that, Michael, so go ahead.
Pope Leo, in 1891, wrote that the socialists, working on the poor man's envy of the rich, are striving to do away with private property and contend that individual possessions should become the common property of all, to be administered by the state or by municipal bodies. And then he goes on, and then he shows how the authority of divine law forbids us in its severest terms even to covet that which is another's.
Michael, right? Savage, I appreciate this. You've been very indulgent with your time.
Savage.
Well, he didn't mean to cut me off. They ran out of time, but it was about Pope Leo's 1891 warning about the coming communism. And it came in 1917 with the Russian Revolution. And now we have the antithesis of Pope Leo in Pope Francis, saluting the redistribution of wealth. And we're supposed to sit here and not see this? I'm sorry. That's why I talked about it. And again, I can invite you calls on it, but it's very important that you know that there's a revolution going on around the world and we're losing. Those of us who believe in private property, those of us who believe in individual rights, those of us who do not want to be held with a yoke pulled by those bureaucrats in the Politburo, recognize we are in very, very dangerous waters. Anyone who's come from a communist country and has seen what Obama's done to this nation recognizes the truth in my words. I'll be right back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
It is the Savage Nation. The whole idea of organized religion right now is starting to bother me. And I don't think that you think I'm criticizing Catholicism by criticizing the Pope's statement on the redistribution of wealth, are you? Some are. In the Catholic hierarchy, they're accusing me of being anti-Catholic. I go on a Catholic blog, I can't believe what I'm reading. Here I am, one of the great defenders in media of Catholics, especially the big thing that I did years ago about was the Catholic Church silent during the Holocaust, and I argued of absolutely not, and I present evidence to that point. Real evidence. Real evidence. And yet I'm ripped apart on Catholic websites as lying. So no matter what you do, when you stick your neck out, someone's going to love you and someone's going to hate you. Your gamble is that more will love you than will hate you. At the end of the day, all you can do is go with the truth, or you can just not even talk. You can just keep your mouth shut, and which is what most of us have to do. And when you get an outspoken guy like Michael Savage, you listen to him say, oh my God, look at the thing the guy says. Whether you agree with him or not, I say, holy God, how does he say that? Because this is what you're supposed to do in America. It's a free country, remember? People would say, you don't like it, it's a free country. That's what we used to say in the Bronx. So I heard men used to say, if you don't like it, you know what you can do with it. It's a free country. Well, now we've reached a point where you're afraid to say what you think. Why? Because, well, okay, I'll go down the litany. You know why? Do I have to tell you why you're afraid? And all it is really, is I've challenged this current pope, who is the antithesis of past popes in our time, by taking on a Marxist viewpoint. That's as simple as that. I don't know how else to put it. You can't defend what he said. You can only say he was misquoted, which is nonsense. It's the third time he's talked about the legitimate redistribution of wealth. And what's even more galling is that he did this before the gangsters at the UN and told them that the wealth should be funneled basically through states, promote a worldwide ethical mobilization with the poor, of solidarity with the poor. And he said that a more equal form of economic progress can be had through, quote, the legitimate redistribution of economic benefits by the state. By the state. That's Francis for you. So, again, Catholic doctrine itself stands opposed to this viewpoint. This is a political viewpoint that is antithetical to Catholicism itself. And I quoted something a listener had sent me about Pope Leo's encyclical from May 1891 on capital and labor. And I'm going to read it to you. Please don't turn the radio off. If you do, you're just marking yourself into the corner of stupidity. If you would only understand how important this is, Pope Leo's encyclical on capital and labor, send it to the Vatican. It was written in 1891. And he wrote, Pope Leo, the socialists working on the poor man's envy of the rich are striving to do away with private property and contend that individual possession should become the common property of all, to be administered by the state or by municipal bodies. They hold that by thus transferring property from private individuals to the community, the present mischievous state of things, that is, the gap between the rich and the poor, will be set to rights, inasmuch as each citizen will then get his fair share of whatever there is to enjoy. But then Pope Leo goes on and says, but were these plans carried into effect, the working man himself would be among the first to suffer. And then he wrote, they are moreover emphatically unjust, for they would rob the lawful possessor, distort the functions of the state, and create utter confusion in the community. And he concluded by saying, socialists, therefore, by endeavoring to transfer the possessions of individuals to the community at large, strike at the interests of every wage earner, since they would deprive him of the liberty of disposing of his wages, and thereby of all hope and possibility of increasing his resources and of bettering his conditions in life. There's more to it. He then quotes divine law, where it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his house, nor his field, nor his manservant. And therefore, he is saying that that means you can't covet the other man's possessions. They're not yours. And he quotes in further, and he says, neither justice nor the common good allows an individual to seize upon that which belongs to another under the futile and shallow pretext of equality. How do you feel about Joe Biden's son going on the board of directors of a Ukrainian energy producer? Does it all fit together for you now as to where McCain fits in on the screaming for war? Where McCain going over there and screaming, Ukraine is our friends, Russia's our enemy? Do you understand it's all about money? Do you understand they're sacking the world? Do you understand this is another power grab? Now look, 1999, I wrote about the oily tracks running through Kosovo. Your president, Bill Clinton, at the time, under the guise of humanitarian efforts, geared towards saving the Albanian Muslims from the evil Serbian Christians, repainted American warplanes with NATO markings, and under the direction of Jamie Rubin, Madeleine Albright, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and the others who are doing it now, bombed Serbia, blew up every bridge on the Danube, blew up schools, hospitals, killed people, and stole Kosovo from Serbia, in order not to save the Muslims, the Albanian Muslims, because Big Oil wanted a pipeline through Kosovo. I wrote the article, The Oily Tracks Run Through Kosovo. And the poor Serbs just happened to be the wrong owners of the wrong real estate at the wrong time for the New World Order. But you idiots, you Democrat liars, said you were helping the Muslims who were being put in concentration camps. Now let's move forward to today. Very similar situation in the Ukraine. Thousands of ethnic Russians in Crimea protesting against the new government in Kiev. Okay? Historians still aren't exactly clear why Russia gave Crimea away in 1954. At the time, both Russia and Ukraine were a part of the Soviet Union. And it supposedly has something to do with strengthening brotherly ties. But one thing is clear right now. Russian President Mr. Putin has no intention of letting that gift slip too far from his grip. That's because Ukraine is the choke point in the region for natural gas pipelines that run from Russia to Western Europe. And this battle is really about who controls that choke point. The U.S. State Department practically started this conflict on behalf of NATO. John McCain, the most dangerous man in modern American politics, in my opinion, was on the ground in Ukraine in December, quote, providing assistance to those who are working to overthrow a duly elected Ukrainian government. The United States at that time warned Russia, this was during the Olympics when Russia could not react, the United States warned Russia not to take action against these protesters. And the stooges in the American media showed you the pictures of the protesters who were largely young girls in tight dungarees with iPhones on their behinds. And naturally, Anderson Cooper put on the flak jacket and ran over there because whenever he sees a pair of tight pants with a young protester with an iPhone, he knows that they're the right ones. Our president even drew a pink line. The billion-dollar question is, what is the interest of the United States here? Why has John Kerry stuck his big ketchup bottle into this fight time and time again? While most Americans don't even know where Ukraine is, most Americans are fed up with war, Americans are burned out from Iraq and Afghanistan, who was banging the loudest war drums? What does it have to do with Joe Biden? First, you have to understand that Russia provides about a quarter of the natural gas consumed in the European Union. About 80% of those exports flow through pipelines across Ukrainian soil before the gas arrives in the EU. But another source for those exports to the EU exists in the region, and it's not controlled by Russia. It's very common knowledge that Qatar, Q-A-T-A-R, Qatar, Qatar, no one could pronounce it. They should just change their name to just another Arab country. Qatar has wanted to build a natural gas pipeline to Turkey in order to export gas to Europe. But guess who stood in the way of the first leg of that journey? Syria and Bashar Assad, a Russian ally. Are you starting to see the picture? Syria, so you think the Syrian civil war is over anything but money and oil? You may be wrong. I'm going to move ahead now. I'm going to tell you what's going on right now. According to the Wall Street Journal, Vice President Joe Biden's son, Hunter, and a close friend of Secretary of State John Kerry's stepson, have joined the board of a Ukrainian gas producer controlled by a former top security and energy official for deposed President Viktor Yanukovych. That's a quote now. What am I claiming here? I'm claiming right here and right now that the United States has kicked up a civil war in Ukraine to mask a fight over a natural gas pipeline route that, once it is built, will personally benefit family and friends of this administration. This is called cronyism, crony capitalism. This is called nepotism in a polite way, but in a more blunt way, it's called ugly. Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, has taken a position on the board of directors with a Ukrainian energy producer. In any other time, this would not have been done because people would have a fear that there'd be an indictment or a government would fall, the FBI would investigate. There'd be a press outrage. The opposition party would stop all business on the floor of Congress and demand an immediate investigation as to how the vice president's son could take a job with a foreign power with whom we're supposedly an ally against Russia. Without seeing this for what it is, you are blind. It doesn't matter whether Biden would be a Democrat or Republican. This is cronyism. This is crony capitalism. This is the oligarchy. This is nepotism. In Napoleon's time, it was called nepotism. And Napoleon II, or the third, fell because of nepotism. He had appointed so many of his relatives, or so many of his immediate friends and relatives had benefited from his position as the supreme ruler of France, that the government fell because the people rose up. But there are no people in America, just as there is no England anymore, there's no America anymore. I am talking about the biggest story you're going to hear today, and I'm shocked. It's not on the Washington Times. I can't find it on any website. There's no outrage. Who is Hunter Biden? Was he picked by the Ukraine because he's a brilliant lawyer? I don't know. He has a name called Biden, his father's vice president. That couldn't hurt. Did you know that Hunter Biden worked with the Clinton machine in the U.S. Department of Commerce? Did you know that Hunter Biden was the Obama campaign bundler, one of the biggest money guys? Did you know that Hunter Biden helped get his dad elected? There's a lot of money to be made. You see, if they can yank the Ukraine into the U.S. sphere of influence, the Biden-Kerry cartel stands to rake in billions of dollars. Barack Obama said in 2008, "I will finally end the abuse of no-bid contracts once and for all." He said that in Grand Rapids in October of 08. Obama lied when he said the days of sweetheart deals for Halliburton will be over when I'm in the White House. What he meant to say was, those days are over for anyone but my friends. Replace the word Halliburton with Biden. I'm asking you again, how do you feel about Joe Biden's son working for Ukrainian natural gas producer? Now, the State Department, as corrupt as it is, was challenged on this very topic by the only reporter in the Associated Press I have respect for named Matt Lee. I never heard of him. You're going to say, wait a minute, there's actually someone left who's a reporter who dare challenge these lousy, stinking liars? You know, what went on in the ex-Soviet Union after the fall of the wall was a disaster for the Russian people. And initially, the gas was stolen. All of the things that were owned by the state were stolen by the oligarchs. The natural resources were stolen by the Russian oligarchs. We know that. It's going on in front of your eyes right now under this nice guy Obama, who, as you well know, cares only about issues related to human rights. And so that's why you have to understand how dangerous this is, because 52% or so of the people don't work. They could care less who's robbing who. All they know is that government check comes in with the government cheese. All they know is that they're not qualified for medical care because nobody could insure them, and now you're going to pay for it. All they know is that we're living in a nation of giveaways from a nation of takeaways. And so I ask you again, how do you feel about Joe Biden's son working for Ukrainian energy producer? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The corruption of this administration has just reached a new level, that of a banana republic or the old Russian oligarchy. But you don't know about it. You're interested in someone called Sponge hitting someone with a sponge brain in an elevator. That's exciting to you. Well, let me tell you something. The vice president has a son named Hunter Biden who just signed on the board of directors as the legal guy with the Ukrainian oil production company. Any other country, they'd be arrested for, let us say, nepotism, cronyism, self-dealing. Even the Associated Press has had enough with this corruption. And reporter Matt Lee, who'll probably be fired as a result of this, asks the State Department during a press exchange, does this building diplomatically have any concerns about potential perceptions of conflict or cronyism, which is what you've often accused the Russians of doing? And the spokesmouth for Obama, Jane Psaki, says, no, he's a private citizen. That's just the point. Of course he's a private citizen, but he's related to the vice president. So then the reporter, to his credit, becomes a real reporter, and he goes on, he says, do you consider that the Ukrainian oligarchs who control these, they're all private citizens as well, correct? And then the spokesmouth for the State Department, who should be put in prison for being the equivalent of Leni Riefenstahl or Goebbels, says, well, yeah, we certainly wouldn't put them in the same category on that. But they are in the same category. There's a huge scandal brewing around the world, everywhere but in America, where your mind is so numbed down. You're so numb and stupid from the drugs you're on, from the alcohol you're on, from the media you're on. God knows I don't understand that there should be an uprising. What am I talking about? Oh, I'm just a right-winger. I don't know what I'm talking about. The whole world is talking about it, but you never heard about it because your favorite drug addict didn't make you laugh over it in the midst of a porn session. I am talking about Vice President Biden's son signing up to work for the Ukrainian oil production oligarchy. Do you fear that we have now become the Russia of old? After hearing the Obama administration rattle on and on about the Russian oligarchy, how can you believe a word this man says? Well, okay, I've made my point. So what's your point? Your point is it doesn't matter, they all do it. No, they don't all do it. No, they don't all do this. The scandals are now epidemic. Would you like another one? The feds released hundreds of immigrant murderers, drunk drivers, and sex crimes convicts. A Republican rep says Obama supports the worst prison break in American history, and it's impeachable. 36,000 criminals were freed while awaiting deportation. Obama says amnesty coming in the next 2 to 3 months. If there's not a 5 million man march, the country is lost from the oligarchy that has seized this country and destroyed it. White House says vice president does not endorse son working for Ukrainian gas company. Oh, really? Doesn't endorse? We're going back to that again? Oh, move on, Michael. Jay Carney, Joe Biden's son accepted position with Ukrainian gas company as a private citizen. Duh. It's called cronyism. What, they hire him because he's the smartest lawyer in the world? Or because his name is Biden? Do you know how big this is? Do you know how big this is? You better know how big this is. This is the biggest story of the day, maybe the week. Joe Biden's son accepted a position with a major Ukrainian natural gas company. He's on the board of directors of Burisma Holdings, a major gas producer in Ukraine. How do you feel about that? Doesn't matter to you? Then you Democrats are worse than I thought you were. So let's go back to the other news of the day. We'll go to michaelsavage.com. Since it's the end of hour number three, and there's no point in listening to the media after me because this is it. I mean, unless you want to hear about Obamacare or the Constitution, let us say, what else are they going to talk about? Obama says immigration enforcement isn't smart. In other words, he's saying the Constitution and the borders mean nothing. Although he's sworn to uphold the nation's laws, he's the nation's largest lawbreaker. You don't care. Why don't you care? Because a federal judge overturns Idaho's ban on gay marriage. That's what's important. You have to understand that gay marriage is more important than cronyism. In fact, gay marriage is probably more important than anything in the world. Well, next to global warming, I'm sorry. After Bozo Haram's kidnapping, what does the U.S. stand for? I renamed Boko Haram to Bozo's harem because Bozo has a harem of Christian girls. It's funny, isn't it? Maybe you'll remember it as Bozo's harem. After Bozo's harem kidnapping, what does the United States stand for? Nothing! Nothing. Nothing. We're melting down faster than an ice cream cone on a summer day in New York City without air conditioning. What else is in the news? Well, I'll tell you what. What the Pope said about the Pope's Marxism before Michael Savage told you about what the Pope said about the Pope's Marxism before Rush ran with Michael Savage's comments on what the Pope's Marxism was. Meanwhile, the military is being melted down to levels that of 1940 by Hegel the Bagel, who suggests the U.S. reviewed transgender ban in the military. In other words, he's not concerned about troop readiness or weapons readiness. He's concerned about the readiness to accept transgenders throughout the military. If it gets any worse, which it will, get ready for a rock and roll ride because it's going to get worse, much, much worse, before it gets much better. Let's see if there's any other good news I can share with you on the Savage Nation. Democrats suffered a double blow after their choice candidate in the Florida House race suddenly dropped out, and longtime Michigan Representative John Complainer Conyers failed to qualify for the primary ballot in his corrupt state. Did you hear this? A lot of good it's going to do us when the Republicrats take over. I don't know what the Florida thing is about. Ed Janey, an independent running with Democrat support against Republican David Jolly, dropped out. Why? Here's why. He dropped out after the Tampa Bay Times published a story questioning whether he padded his education credentials on his resume. Oh, he was doing professional work in Brazil. I see. Well, I guess that's equal to a PhD, is doing professional work in Brazil. But he dropped out. Meanwhile, Mr. Conyer can't qualify because several people who signed his petitions do not appear to have been registered voters or had registered too late. In other words, standard operating procedure for a Democrat. People who signed this petition, they look like registered voters or they registered too late. Please. Please. That is so old. Why would you even have to be a citizen to vote in the new Obama world? Why vote at all? Why shouldn't they just be able to decide what they do? Meanwhile, France has warned there's only 500 days left to save the climate. Sorry. France warns 500 days to save the climate. Secretary of Hate John Kerry welcomed French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius to the State Department yesterday. And in the words of the Foreign Minister, climate chaos. There's only 500 days remaining to avoid climate chaos. 500 days to avoid climate chaos. And I know that President Obama and John Kerry himself are committed on this subject, and I'm sure that with them a lot of blah, 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 blah. I don't know how he knows it's 500. Why couldn't it be 499 days? What if it's 501 days? He may be prescient, because you know all liberals can see things we can't see. He knows that we have only 500 days to avoid climate chaos. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stock up on food, cheese, guns, ammunition, stock up on water, because there's only 500 days left. It's unclear what the Foreign Minister of France had in mind with the 500 days, but you should know that France is scheduled to host the 21st Conference of the Parties on Climate Change in December 2015. About 500 and some odd days from now. So it's another lying, stinking, rotten Western politician. Hey, hey, ho, ho. That's all the news I've got to give you. It's time to go. Michael Savage. God bless America.
Savage.
What if you got rewarded for every good decision?